Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name.
Good evening and welcome to Medium Insights on Signs of Life Radio, the show that's held the second Thursday every month, usually hosted by Roman Karpyshka, who couldn't be here tonight, so I'm Tom Gould and I will be with you this evening, and I'm very excited to talk with our guest tonight, Connie Fusella, who is a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation, and she's had spiritual awareness and experiences since she was a small child. And it was in her 20s when she had a severe allergic reaction to medication that led to a near-death experience. And since then, her abilities have been more prevalent and growing. And I've got to say, she's become one of the very go-to valuable mediums for the Forever Family Foundation, has been with us for several of our grief retreats, including the next one. She will be with us in California this October, it's the weekend of October 18th, and there are still a few spots open for that. These grief retreats fill up pretty quickly, and I must say, on a personal note, I have noticed we did a grief retreat in Chester, Connecticut last summer, and Connie was there. And after a power outage in the guest house, we gathered around a table and did what they call table tilting, getting messages through a table. And I noticed that night that it was Connie's energy that really got the ball rolling on this. When she wasn't at the table, we didn't have much in the way of results. When she came into the room and sat at the table, it was like magic. And when I think about it, you know, Connie's been relatively new in the last couple of years. She was certified with the foundation. And ever since she became a member of the foundation's medium corps, we have been getting a lot of more very highly qualified mediums. I hope you don't mind, Connie, that I'm going to give you credit for this, but I think that your energy kind of drew to us some great mediums, because we've been doing medium certification for years and years and years, and I have to say we had a pretty dry spell a few years back, and but since Connie's been a medium with us, we have added several very, very talented mediums. So it's a stretch, but I'm going to give you credit for that.
well, thank you.
And one thing I need to mention also is Connie's website is meaningfulmessages.info. Meaningful messages, all one word, .info. If you need to reach her. Also, because this show is Medium Insights, we will take phone calls, but there will be no medium readings tonight. That's next Thursday. We have a program, Mediums and Messages, hosted by Joe Peretta. So if you're looking to get a reading, come back next Wednesday and join in. But if you have a question for Connie, if I can stop talking long enough, you can call in and ask those questions. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. And I don't know if we've got video or whatever, but that's that. So with all of that being said, let's welcome Connie. Connie, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. How you doing, Tom? I'm excited to be here.
Yes, it's great to talk to you again. Again, mentioned you've been to several retreats, and we've had a great time while you're there, and people have been blown away by your abilities. So that's tremendous. Let me just hit in on one of the things I mentioned early in the introduction, of that you had a near-death experience in your 20s. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I've actually had three. So the first one that I had, and two of them were in my early 20s. The first one that I had, and they were all reactions to medication. So the first one kind of led me into anaphylaxis. And the next thing I knew, I was in the hospital, and I was sitting on the floor, Indian style, you know, with my legs crossed. And a light being figure approached me. I couldn't really make out any face, but just a glowing, you know, person approached me and put this big book in my lap. And I could see that the binding of the book was leather and kind of worn, and the pages were like parchment paper, but the papers were glowing, like the light was going straight up. And as I looked at the book, the pages started flipping very quickly, and it was from the day I was born until present day. And then, you know, I woke up, and, you know, afterwards I had told my mom. I was like, wow, you know, I had this really strange dream. And I was describing, you know, things, images that I had seen, like before I was a year, 2 years old. And she, you know, validated what I had seen. And I realized now I had, you know, what's called a life review. But, you know, at the time, being young and not into this world of, you know, psychics and mediums and near-death experiences, I had no idea. I just thought I had a really cool dream. Interestingly enough, after I had that experience, I started experiencing what it's called, I believe, sleep paralysis. So this would happen to me like a couple of times, few times a month. And that's where, you know, you're sleeping and all of a sudden you can't move and you're kind of conscious, but you think you're sleeping and you can't move, you can't scream. And sometimes it can be terrifying, right? Yes. So, yeah, so that was happening to me. And the first time that it happened, you know, I could see like a figure like over me, and I could hear, you need to get up, you need to lift yourself up. And, you know, I was like, okay, yeah, I need to get up, right? I couldn't move. And this started happening over and over again. And then I came to realize that the person I was seeing was actually me. And I was like out of my body trying to pull myself up. And I kept hearing, you need to lift yourself up. Well, now, all these years later, and it's so funny, as you probably know, I've been writing my book for God knows how long now, right? But I was told by spirit that I'm going to realize things and discover things about myself as I'm writing this book. And I'm still discovering things. And I think that's why it's taking so long. But what I know now is that those words, you need to lift yourself up, you know, spirit was telling me energetically, I needed to lift myself up. I needed to lift my vibration up, right, in order to do this type of work. But of course, I didn't understand that back then. I, you know, I wasn't doing this type of work or didn't know anything about it. So, you know, I didn't get the memo. And a few years later, I had a second NDE where another allergic reaction to medication, and it landed me in the hospital where I went into ventricular cardiac arrest. Oh. And so I had an experience then of, you know, I flatlined, and I had an experience of, you know, being out of my body, floating near the ceiling, seeing the doctors and nurses work on me. And then next thing you know, I'm in that proverbial tunnel, right? I would describe like an MRI. That's about how big it felt to me. Uh-huh. And I was going feet first into this light, and it felt like a Disney ride, you know, one of those virtual rides where, you know, you think you're going really fast, but you're not moving. It was like something like that, going into this, like I could see like a round, like glowing, you know, hole at the end. And so just as I got to that ending, and my feet did what I would call, I touched like the glow, as I like to say, and it was sort of like going into jello is how I would describe it. Wow. Right. And as soon as that happened, they must have used those defibrillators and brought me back. So, you know, okay. So I had that experience and, again, in my early 20s, but what happened shortly after that, why I say this one kind of, you know, put me on my path really is, you know, after I returned to work, all of a sudden my normal routine of walking a couple blocks and getting lunch, I was working in New York City at the time. All of a sudden I find myself one day just kind of taking a different route and going down some streets I hadn't gone before. And I came across the psychic shop and I was drawn in and, you know, I asked the guy like, what goes on here? Right. And he told me, oh, people give readings. They predict your future. So I went in and got a reading and I was hooked. So something was so fascinating about this. And so I spent, you know, a couple of lunch hours, you know, a couple times a month to get readings. And it's in that shop in 1991 that I bought my first deck of tarot cards. So, you know, I feel like I was, you know, led toward this way, you know, to the metaphysical, you know, each time with the near-death experiences. And the third time, I was a little bit older, I had an after effect of surgery. And the next thing I knew, I'm in what I would, you know, perceive as to be heaven. I was raised Catholic. So, you know, I'm kind of like in the clouds and in this beautiful place with beautiful colors. And I'm dancing with children, like a ring around the rosy type of thing. And these children are like maybe 3 years old, 4 years old. And I don't know the song. It's nothing that I learned here on the earth plane, but I remember singing this lovely, beautiful song. I was so happy. And the next thing you know is a man walks towards me and looks like as what I would perceive Jesus to look like. And he says to me, you know, do you like it here? And I say, oh, you know, I love it here, you know. And so I'm, you know, I look around and I'm, you know, I'm dancing still, but I look around and I said, but where are my children? Because I had two young children at the time. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, it's not their time yet. And I said, oh, okay, you know, so I continue to dance and sing and I'm happy. And he says to me again, do you like it here? And I said, oh, yeah, I love it here. And again, but where are my children? And he says, it's not their time yet. And it's not your time yet either. You have yet to become who you were meant to be. Wow. So with that, I wake up and again, have no clue what all of this means. So this is like three, you know, afterlife type of communications and me still clueless. but what happened shortly after that, I received an invitation to participate in like a psychic fair and do readings. And that was the first time that I did readings. And from there, you know, the rest is history.
Did the mediumistic qualities come naturally, or did you do something to further your abilities?
Yeah, so when I was small, when I was about 4 years old, I saw a spirit. I saw an old man in the basement when my mom was doing laundry and I followed her. And, you know, I saw, and it's a long story, so I know we don't have a lot of time, but I saw him a few times and it was intimidating and, you know, I didn't understand it. And, you know, when I pointed, you know, over in the direction of where I saw him, my mom, you know, she didn't acknowledge him. And she basically said, there's nothing there. Come on, let's go. So, you know, I was a little confused. I thought maybe it was a secret. Maybe my eyes were fooling, you know, me. So I never talked about it. So I only saw him a few times. And then shortly after that, I started hearing. So I had a little stuffed animal, a little lion cub that I had gotten when I was about 4 years old for Christmas. Her name was Leah. And, you know, she was my favorite toy. I took her everywhere. But I thought that Leah started talking. So I was hearing spirit, but I thought it was my stuffed animal because I was young and didn't understand. And then when I started school, I stopped seeing and hearing. But what happened is I started knowing. So I kind of sailed all the way through high school without studying. And I was pretty much a straight A student. Things came, you know, naturally to me. And once I left school, I started having premonitions. And again, didn't think anything unusual. And then those near-death experience happened. And then I started doing readings. And, you know, when I started reading the cards, And to this day, I use the same deck I bought in 1991, the original deck. I still can't tell you the meanings of the tarot cards. So I don't read the traditional way. So I just, it's all, I make these crazy piles and I work with my spirit team. But about 10 years into reading, you know, I started hearing again, and most of the, and it was pretty much names. I started hearing names. And when I was giving readings, you know, all my clients would say, well, that person's passed, you know? And I'm like, well, geez, why am I getting all these, you know, people's names that are dead? What's going on here? So I realized, you know, that my readings were becoming mediumistic, and I took some classes. I trained with Janet Nohavik, as you know her, and sadly she's passed, and John Holland and Tony Stockwell. And so I took some classes to kind of, you know, see what this was all about and what that looked like and what I can do to enhance my ability. So, yeah.
Well, that's tremendous. You know, before I go on, I'm looking at your itinerary, which is pretty darn impressive. And I realized that the first event that's on the list here is happening this Sunday at the Self-Care Center in Venice, Florida, where you will be on Sunday, April 14th and May 19th. And if you are in the Venice, Florida area, you can look up the Self-Care Center on their website and get tickets for that. So that's a show this Sunday, and I'm telling you, it will be a great experience. You know, my daughter, when she was growing up, had an imaginary friend called Leah. So I
thought that's interesting.
Yeah. And also, I noticed in your when you talked about your first NDE, you mentioned this book. Would you consider that and was probably the Akashic Records that you were looking through? Or what do you have any significance that you...
You know, all I know now that it was a life review, so I don't know, you know, I don't know a lot, you know, I feel silly saying it. I really don't know a lot about Akashic Records, but I just know that it was a life review. I saw images and people, you know, of, you know, throughout my life, places I was, you know, memories and things like that. Hmm.
And I'm very interested in the book. I know we've spoken at the retreats and I always bring it up, you know, you're writing a book.
Yeah.
And you weren't, but now you're actually in the process.
Yeah, I have like about 12, 13 rough chapters, but I keep learning more things as I go along. And so I keep adding to it. And then as I, like I said, Spirit gave me a download and they wanted me to add some information about the soul that I'm going to include in there, you know, some information that they gave me. So I'm just trying to figure how to make it all work together.
Yeah, that's tremendous. And I know I've been trying to assemble my book of memoir, and I it's such a great experience because all the things you figured, well, I forgot half of the stuff I did, but as you write, it leads you, it opens up your memory.
Exactly, that's what I've been finding. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't remember this or I didn't remember that. So yeah, yep, absolutely.
That's tremendous. Oh, you know, we had something come up in our last retreat, and would like to get your take on it. When you do a group reading, we seem to have had somebody in a group reading who tried to, everybody in the room said she was stealing somebody else's reading. You know, they'd try every time the medium would suggest something, this person would say, oh, that's mine. Do you get that kind of thing? And how do you handle it?
I lovingly refer to those people as the message hogs.
Yes.
Yes, I do. It happens pretty much all the time. What I do is, you know, as the medium, you know who you are with, right? Because you're directed by spirit. And And especially, I find that a lot of these people, I've already given them a message, right? But now I'm going around and they're still trying to grab other people's things. And I always say, because spirit is so clever, especially in a group setting, people are going to hear things that resonate with them. So I always just say to the people, I said, I acknowledge them and I thank them. And I said, but I tell them, but I know I'm with, you know, this person over here. But if that means something to you and resonates with you, then just know that that's, you know, your people in spirit, their way of letting, you know, that they're still here or they're around you as well. Because you'll find that, you know, you throw out something and there could be three or four people that it resonates with. But you know, as the medium and spirit knows where to take you, you know, who that really belongs to. But when there's a group like that, they're very clever. And just so that everybody can take a little piece of something home and feel good that their loved ones were present, I say, if it resonates with you, you know, and especially if it's something, you know, very specific and, you know, a name that's unusual, then, you know, yes, that's your people letting you know that they're, you know, they're with you.
Yeah. I've heard the term, the saying piggybacking, where you will get,
right,
more than one spirit trying to get a message through at the same time. So
right, that's where I got message hog. You get it? Piggybacking message. Yes. Hog.
I didn't put that one together. That's a good one. Wow. So I thought that was pretty good. This is another question that we get a lot asking about mediums, and you know, you've got spirit coming to you. Do you have a method to turn them off, to let them know that you're off duty, as it were?
Sure. Yeah. And that's, you know, one of the basics, the fundamentals of, you know, when you're learning mediumship, it's about boundaries. And that's really important. So, you know, every medium has their relationship with spirit, you know, and you set your boundaries. You know, I used to get waken up quite a bit in the middle of the night and, you know, feel a presence there and kind of yell out and, you know, scare the bejeebies out of my husband, you know? So, yeah. So, you know, it's like, don't do that anymore in the middle of the night, you know. So but you set your boundaries, and you know, you don't want to be walking around in crowds, and you know, especially if you're, you know, an empath and taking on everybody's energy and feelings, you've got to protect your energy and you've got to set boundaries. So yeah, I just tell spirit, you know, just, you know, I need you to come, you know, when I'm doing a reading, you know, and not during other times, you know, that's my me time.
Oh, it looks like we have a caller. Let's take a caller. We have Tim on the line. Tim, are you there?
I am. Good evening.
Oh,
to
hi.
You both.
You have a message, a question for Connie?
I do. So,
hi, Tim.
Hi, good evening. The typical mediumistic readings that I've watched, you know, go something like the medium would say, either describe the person, and the person being read would say, oh, that's my grandmother. Or in some instances, the medium says, I have somebody coming through that's identifying themselves as your grandmother, something like that. I'm mm-hmm. curious, from a broader perspective, you know, I've read the things out there that indicate, at least some people would believe in the evidence, that we live more than one life. Ian Stevenson, Jim mm-hmm. Tucker, Michael Newton, and others, you know, would have gathered evidence that would indicate that. I'm just curious as to if you've ever done a reading and wound up with a situation in which somebody comes through and says, yes, I have your wife coming through, but she also was your grandmother who died before you were born. Or something to that effect. So a person comes through and identifies themselves as more than one significant person in the life of the person being read.
Gotcha. Well, that's a very interesting question, and I have not got that question before. So to answer it, no, I have not had any being come through and identify themselves as two different people. because, well, that's a little tricky because, you know, my belief is that, you know, because this leads into people ask, well, if somebody reincarnated, then how could I get in touch with them if they come down here as somebody else, right? So I think it, that's, you know, when you reincarnate, your soul, just a piece of it comes down to the new human body, but the majority of it stays with the collective, like up there. So that's how communication can take place. But I don't know how that would work, because I feel like each soul is, even though they have reincarnated, it's kind of like they're individual. So I don't know about that, how they would come and identify themselves as two people. So that's very interesting. That's given me something to think about, actually. Tom, what do you think about that?
Yeah, there's a series of books and actually recordings called Seth Speaks, about a spirit named Seth who has come channeled through an author and his wife and husband together have collected these messages. And Seth describes it as you did, that your soul is existing on the other plane, of course, and it's kind of like an octopus. So it has tentacles, and one tentacle can be here now, that's you, whereas another tentacle could be in the 1700s, and another tentacle could be in the
exactly
50 or something like that. So you can be reincarnated somewhere, and yet that tentacle that was you here, that is still connected to the soul, is what you're communicating with. And to answer your question about, well, they can say that I was your grandmother and or I was, you know, a distant relative or an ancestor. My answer to that would be when you get a reading from a medium and spirit comes through, which is not an easy thing for spirit either. I heard Connie before talking about having to raise her vibration, because we're all vibrations. You know, even the table you're on is vibrating because molecules are always moving. It's just they're moving so slow it looks solid to you, and we're moving faster, so we look like we're moving around and we're that. But when we pass over and we lose this body and become pure energy, then our vibration is very high. So for us to communicate, and what the great thing about mediums are, is they have an ability to raise their vibration up, whereas spirit has to bring its vibration down to a place where the two can communicate. And basically what spirit, or I've seen in most readings, and you know, Connie, you can back me up on this if you found it true too, is a spirit, first of all, spirit wants you here. If your loved one's passed over, they, as Connie described, they go to this beautiful, beautiful place. When somebody says, do you like it here? Of course I like it here. It's beautiful and everything's, you know, just fantastic. And they're just fine. And they look back at you down on earth and you're grieving heavily. You're sad. They don't want you to be sad. They want you to finish out your life, because, you know, we're eternal beings. And eternity is thousands and thousands and thousands of years that we are existing. And this time on earth, which can be very short or 100 years, it seems like a long time, but in the sense of thousands and thousands of years, 100 years is just a blip on the radar screen. And they know that you will join them again, you will see each other again, and they want to let you know that they're doing fine and everything's fine, and you should go try to enjoy your life, and then you'll meet up again. So what they tend to do is give you information so that you know that it's them. And if they start talking about you know, the 1700s, or as you said, the grandmother, you know, 100 years ago, if somebody, nobody in the room ever knew or known anything about, you have no way of validating that. So it's not information that a spirit will necessarily want to convey, because it doesn't do any good towards the ultimate goal of letting you know that your loved one still exists. How'd that sound, Connie? Did I get it right?
Yeah, I agree with it. And that's why, you know, typically, you know, mediums don't, or they shouldn't, you know, bring through, like, I have your great, great, great grandfather, or, you know, because you most likely won't be able to, you know, validate, you know, any of that evidence. So, you know, and if you are, you know, an evidential medium, and the purpose is to connect, and like you said, prove that our loved ones are still there, the spirit's going to bring through the types of details and information that are only pertinent and that you can validate.
Yeah, so there's, you're right. There's a validity that the medium provides. It, you know, this is a process of expanding horizons. People go through their life, I think, every day, you know, dealing with their issues, dealing with their problems, aches, pains, pain bills, etc. The mediums have allowed people not just to deal with grief, but also to put forth to the person being read that you are greater than just your body, that there's another essence of who you are that will, you know, continue. And I was just looking at that, even, you know, some evidence out there that indicates that that's even broader. It's not like you're one and done here. There could be potentially
right.
multiple lives. And as Connie indicated, yeah, what I've read and what you stated was your soul, when you incarnate, is not the complete soul. There's another one, you know, that's in the afterlife and et cetera. So you're even this greater thing than you even could conceive of. So I was just wondering if, you know, you might have had something that would, through your readings, had validated that type of approach, that, you know, what's being put out there is right. a hypothesis, and people putting out the information, whether you had anything to verify that. But thank you very much
gotcha.
For
You're welcome.
Your insight. I appreciate it.
Thank you for calling in, Tim.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Here's a question that I've seen and heard asked, and I've heard kind of conflicting answers. Many people, or many mediums, say that they cannot read themselves. And I was curious if do you have your own family, loved ones that will come through to you, or do you need another medium to bring through personal things for you?
Well, I can feel, you know, I have a mom and dad in spirit. I can feel their presence. And of course, I get the signs from them. So I know that they're around. And it's so funny. It just happened today. As a matter of fact, I got a couple of things going on. And I was just like, it's funny, you know, me, I was like, mom, dad, you know, if you could just help me out and let me know that these things are going to work out or be okay. I just have one or two things. And then I was like, well, I might have five things. I went down my list and I was like, you know, let me know, you know, give me a sign. And I was actually out somewhere. And all of a sudden over the radio, this song I've never heard before. It was an old country song. And it was like a ballad, you know, one of those heartbreak ballad of, you know, this woman and, you know, she kills her husband or something. It was a strange, strange song. I've never heard it before. Wow. But it was like, and her name was Marianne. And my mother's name is Marianne. Huh. So it was just like, I was like, oh, wow, wait a minute, you know, and it repeated like a couple times the name Marianne. So, you know, I took that as a sign, like, okay, Herb, you know, that they're there with me. So, yeah, I feel like, you know, and maybe that's individual too. I can't speak for other mediums, but, you know, for me, I know if I ask, you know, my parents like to give me a sign, they usually give me one. So I know that they're around.
Yeah, that seems to work out. What kind of readings do you enjoy most? We also get questions about, whether over the phone or Zoom or large groups. If you had your druthers, what would be your number one way to communicate?
Number one, I love the groups. I do. I feel, I worked from home for the last, 15 years or so. So that gets me out. And I think that, my personality can come out too. I get to meet people. So I like that aspect of it. But also what I like is that in those groups, is where you're going to find the skeptics, right? It's the husband that gets dragged along by the wife or a friend or somebody. And that's where I feel like a lot of the times I can be impactful because, part of my journey and the way that I was made to understand it is, before I do a group, I give an education. I talk about, how I started and, my abilities and, that type of thing. But I talk about the Forever Family Foundation, but I talk about also how it works, the difference between psychic and medium and the clairs. I just give a brief little overview because I think it's important, somebody could just get up and start spewing messages, but I think it's important for the audience to understand, one, yes, this is difficult, raising the vibrations, and how it's not easy for your loved ones in spirit and how those clairs work and how the messages come through. So I think that's important. And I have a lot of people thank me for that they like, me doing that. And the other thing about that is in the groups, is where the laughter happens. So that's one thing I think that I'm known for that, people in my groups, we're talking about grief. And you know what? Laughter is the best medicine because I always ask my spirit team to give me something quirky or, some man or woman that may be eccentric or there's something funny in the family. And you make people laugh and that cuts through the grief and also keeps that vibration up, right? So the messages can keep coming. And I think that's one of the things that I have really kind of honed in on, and that's become like a steady part of the way that I demonstrate, and that and people come up afterwards because this is scary for a lot of people, like especially based on maybe your religious beliefs or your upbringing, people don't know what to expect, so a one-on-one may not be the best way for them to get exposed to this, but coming to a group maybe something that's a little bit better way to ease them into this. And I've got a lot of positive feedback that like, hey, we didn't know what to expect. We were nervous. We thought, we'd come in and a lot of people think you're going to come into a group and find, 20 wailing people, so distraught, right? They don't know what to expect. So they were like, well, this was great. This was uplifting. And that's really what I strive to do is, leave people uplifted. And so, in the personal readings, which I love to do as well, but that's where you're going to have sometimes more of the serious nature ones and the ones that where, people are really, the hard grief and the things like that. But in the groups, a little bit more laughter and uplifting can come through. So I really enjoy those.
Yeah, I have to. Yeah, that's huge. In fact, as I attend these grief retreats, and they're a weekend long. It's Friday through Sunday, and we do 4 a year. And yeah, people show up. You can tell they're hurting, and then yet, Connie or someone else will do a group reading, and I'll look around the room, and I've seen people smiling and I'm laughing. And then by the end of the weekend, people are much lighter. Their grief has been somewhat alleviated, and I think that's really tremendous. And you hit the nail on the head with an entertaining and lighthearted reading session. it's the healing is tremendous in that, and I appreciate.
Yeah, and I always tell them too. You know, when I'm giving my little spiel in the beginning, I tell them. I said you can expect to cry. Some people will cry. I always say I don't do my job until at least one person cries, right? But I said, you know, right? I said, but we're going to laugh too, and I let everybody know. In no way do I want to, you know, dismiss anybody's grief or anything like that. But I explain to them about the vibration, and that when you're doing a group, not only do I have to lift my vibration, but I have to keep the whole group up as well. Because if you're talking about a tough passing and, you know, the person's in front of you crying, you know, I can't step into their grief or else my vibration will sink down low. So I explained that to them. So, you know, I said, there are going to be times where I may say something a little silly or something. And that's just so that we can make sure that we keep, you know, the vibration up for the group. So
that's tremendous. And you do it very well, I must say. And you also, said earlier that you were doing things from home and you like to get out. Well, I can't let the show go by without saying how much you're getting out these days. I mentioned the self-care center in Venice, Florida this Sunday, but then you also next Sunday, April 21st, you're going to be in Lakewood Ranch. Where is Lakewood Ranch?
That's in between Bradenton and Sarasota.
Okay, in Florida as well.
In Florida, yes.
Okay, so if you're in that area and would like to see Connie do her readings, Sunday, April 21st and May 31st at the Yoga Bear, the Lakewood Ranch. That's not Yogi Bear. It's not Yogi Bear. It's Yoga.
Yoga Bar. Yoga Bar. Yep.
So that's a place. Also, I see that you're, on October 25th, it's a ways away. It's a special event, an evening of meaningful messages from heaven in Poughkeepsie, New York. So anybody in the New York Poughkeepsie area, you will want to get in on that. And if you're listening to this radio show, you can get in on an advance notice here. The event has not been advertised yet. It'll be advertised in a couple of months. But if you want to reserve a space before the event is announced, you can email Connie directly. And her email address is connie@meaningfulmessages.info. Meaningful messages, all one word. That's connie@meaningfulmessages.info. If you're in the Poughkeepsie area, New York, and you are free on October 25th, you want to do that. The weekend before that, you, as I mentioned, there are some spots open for the Forever Family Foundation Grief Retreat in California. That's in San Jose, California. There are registration is open for that, and we have 40 people signed up, so there's a good 10 or 12 spots still open for that one. And you can get the info for that on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org website. And also is it the same weekend that you're going to be presenting at the IANDS conference in Phoenix, Arizona?
Yeah. Yeah, the IANS conference, the International Association for Near-Death Studies. So that's the August 28th through September 2nd, I believe. So yeah, I'll be presenting there that conference. Yeah,
a space here that I didn't see that. So that August 28th through September 1st, that should be very interesting and wonderful. And then I've got it also listed May 18th. Something called Mediumship 101, Learning the Basics. I guess this is something you're teaching then.
Yep, I started teaching this year, so I've done online courses. This will be my first in-person course at the Lakewood Ranch again, in the Yoga Bar in Lakewood Ranch. And then April 27th, I am teaching an online course through The Journey Within. And you can go to their website to register for that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. Well, it's fantastic to see that you're out and sharing this with people, because it really, really means a lot. And I have firsthand witnessed the healing that it does for people and all the good it does for people. I talk to people a lot, obviously, about this sort of thing. And I'm reminded of a couple that came to our grief retreat once. And on Friday night, they came in and when they registered, I mean, they were as glum as could be. These people, a man and his wife who had lost a young son at a Boy Scouting accident. And they just were devastated. And that's Friday night. And Friday, we had our speaker was this guy, Dave Kane, who used to be a stand-up comedian. He's a radio show host. He lost his son in the fire, the nightclub fire in Rhode Island many years ago. And since then, he has seen so many signs and whatnot that he wrote a book, 41 Signs. And when he does his presentation as a former stand-up comedian, he's pretty darn funny. And the whole place was just rip-roaring with laughter, except for this couple that were glum, sour. Saturday night, we had a bonfire. They were still sort of moping around all day Saturday. And then we had a medium who was at around the bonfire, and she was immediately drawn to this couple. And she went straight across and sat with this couple and gave them a reading, 15 minutes with them. And then the next morning at breakfast, these two came in and they were smiling and they were saying hi to people. And it was just, it blew me away. And I thought right then and there, I thought, if you were to go to a psychologist, and I'm not disparaging them, they can be wonderful for you, but how many sessions would you have to go to before you got that kind of change? And, you know, people tell me, you know, I get also plenty of people who will tell me, Tom, this isn't really real, you know? And I say, okay, I'll accept that. This is all hooey. These people aren't doing anything, you know, paranormal. They're just good at making it sound that way. If you accept that, you still have to accept the good and the healing that is done. So, I mean, I happen to know what you do is the real deal in that. But, you know, don't be as a skeptic and say that, you know, you guys should be driven out of town or tarred and feathered or whatever they think that should happen to mediums. But the good that mediums do is priceless, really.
Yeah, and those grief retreats, you know, are so transformational for the people there. They really, I love doing them. They touch my heart so much so. I mean, I have to blame you guys, the Forever Family Foundation, because, you know, I had to leave my corporate job in January because I couldn't stay engaged. I just wanted to do this work more and more and more. And I knew I was getting pushed toward it. And I'm like, you know what? I just want to do this. I want to dedicate, you know, myself full time to doing this, because, you know, it's just life changing to make that kind of difference in someone and help them heal. And the other thing I think that's important that, you know, sometimes people don't understand, mediumship is just not about grieving for people that have lost someone. It's about healing trauma. And there are so many readings that I do where maybe, you know, someone lost a father that maybe, you know, was an alcoholic or abusive or something like that. They had childhood trauma or, you know, in a relationship that, you know, ended badly and there was some trauma going on there. You know, where else can that person come back and say, I'm sorry, and offer an apology? So this is, you know, I find this so many times that the people come through and of course they want to apologize, and if they could take it back, and that is so healing. So You know, I just, I think people a lot of times associate mediumship with grief and the grief of loss of a loved one. Yes, that's true. But it's also the grief from the trauma and, you know, those open wounds that they never have closure because they never had a chance because that person that caused that trauma, you know, passed without saying, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I have noticed that a lot. And you know, the sitter tends to go, you know, so, well, I've got your father coming through, and they're like, I don't want to hear from that guy. He was horrible, you know,
right.
Abusive, you know, and every single time the guy is coming through to apologize. And
right, right.
And that,
and they, and you know, that, you know, and I always tell people it's sometimes it's not who you want to hear from. It's who you need to hear from.
Yes. Yeah, that was, I wanted to interject that too, for anybody out there who has never been to a reading or would curious about getting a reading, is that you have to clear your mind and not have expectations. It was
right.
I had a friend who his father came through for the reading, and he told him all of this sort of stuff, and we said after the reading, you know, that sounded fantastic. What'd you think? He goes, well, he didn't mention about my drumming, you know. It's like. You can never tell with a sitter, you know.
Right, right.
Do you ever encounter negative energy, or is there something you can do to not to, or is there concentrated negative energy to even worry about?
You know, I have never encountered negative energy. I always believe, and I mean, I believe that this work is done with positive energy and, you know, from a place of love. So I don't believe if you're doing this work, you know, you should be bringing in negative energy.
Yeah, it seems to me that when I hear about people with near-death experiences, invariably, when they talk about their visit to the other side, that they're struck with the feeling of immense love, that love is the dominant
yes
energy, when you cross over. And it just seems to me that negative energy doesn't really have a place.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
Anything else that I didn't cover that you'd like to make sure we talk about? We've got a couple of minutes left.
Yeah, well, my special event in October in Poughkeepsie is going to be at the Kunene Hackett Theater. So it's a pretty large theater. So I'm hoping people will show up. So I'll start advertising that. So it holds 250 people. So we'll see. You know, I hope to have a nice crowd there. And that's part of, I want to start, you know, making, you know, some a little tour and going around. So having said that, I will be moving to the East Coast, hopefully shortly, the East Coast of Florida. But, you know, if you'd like me to come out your way to do a group, whether it's a private group in your home or a fundraiser or a charity or a large group, just, you know, contact me because I will travel. I'm going to try to set up a nice schedule going into next year to start, you know, traveling around and doing these, you know, group demonstrations.
And one other question. What kind of wait list do you have? I imagine you've got them backed up of people trying to schedule readings.
Yeah, well, now that I'm not working my other corporate job, usually I'm about 6 weeks or so. 6 weeks waiting list, yeah.
Okay. So it's doable?
It's doable.
I guess
I read every day.
Well, tremendous. So that's not a terribly long wait list. I'm sure it's going to grow for you. And I want to encourage the audience who's listening that now is a good time to see what Connie can do. And you don't have to wait that long. So, you can reach out by email to Connie@meaningfulmessages.info. And the website, of course, is www.meaningfulmessages.info. And if you contact Connie directly, that will be that would be a great experience for you, I'm sure. And it's been a great experience talking with you tonight, and looking forward to seeing you in California.
Likewise, I can't wait.
Thanks, Connie. And with that, we say that our loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and science is going to accept it. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Good night. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.